chooses Travis Shaw over anyone who's great. In an Adam Azer trade, the other team's getting played. An ace to Chris's most guys' number threes. Have any of these dudes ever won the podcast league?
But coming at you on a Grade the Trade Wednesday here on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. You want to send us your emails, your trades that you want graded? FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. I am Adam Azer. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R. And you can follow Scott White on Twitter at CBS Scott White. Don't have to spell it. And Scott, I want to wish you a very, very happy Ronald Acuna Day.
Yes, Ronald Acuna finally getting the call.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. It's very exciting. I wish it didn't happen. I wish the announcement wasn't made at 1 a.m. and I didn't still happen to be awake at 1 a.m. so I didn't feel obligated to react to it then and there. So I'm going to be tired for Ronald Acuna Day.
No,
but
come
I think,
on.
I think the adrenaline.
Yeah.
The adrenaline will carry me through.
Good. And where are you going to rank Ronald Acuna in your outfield rankings?
I did move him up a little. He was already 24th. So, you know, it's not like I was shying away from the upside there, even when he was down in the minors. But I moved him up three more spots to 21. That's just behind K-Riss Davis and, A.J. Pollock, Starling Marte, that group of outfielders. So basically, I saw it as the Acuna is my top outfielder just after the group that I consider to be no questions asked, must start options, impossible to trade for outfielders. Because I, you know, after that group, I have just as much confidence in him as anyone that it's going to be elite production. I mean, it's kind of, I know he's 20, and so it's weird to say a 20-year-old has a high floor, but I feel like it's kind of the argument I was making for Tommy Pham before the season, where he's capable of contributing in so many ways that you don't have to get his best case scenario for him to offer stud production.
Right.
You know, batting average, home runs, power, home runs, stolen bases, they're all part of the skill set there. So no, if he falls short in one of those areas, he's still going to be a really good player.
So a few days ago, Heath did a Twitter poll. Who would you rather have rest of season? And it says points league roster, Mitch Haniger or Ronald Acuna. And Acuna got 51% of the vote to Haniger's 49%. I don't know if Roto would be different because of the steals. But here's what I want to do. I want to do a Twitter poll. I feel left out. I want a Twitter poll. I want you to tell me who to compare Acuna to, and I will ask my Twitter followers, and we will tally the votes throughout the podcast. Who would you rather have rest of season, Ronald Acuna or, and then you tell me who to make the other guy.
Ronald Acuna.
It doesn't even have to be an outfielder.
It doesn't have to.
Could be Shohei Ohtani.
How about Ronald Acuna or A.J. Pollock?
A.J. Pollock.
And I would take Pollock, but should I be somebody who I wouldn't take over Acuna?
No, let's see what the people say. Ronald Acuna or A.J. Pollock. Okay, that's out there. Acuna's up. We assume Preston Tucker's going to lose the playing time because Nick Markakis has continued to be very good. And we shall see. All right, big news. Then we will get into Tuesday's standouts, which include one of the best strikeout pitchers in baseball in the American League East, and his name is not Chris Sale or Luis Severino. A really good pitcher on the Red Sox, and his name is not Chris Sale or David Price. We'll get into the standouts in a second. But Eric Thames left with a thumb injury, and it could be serious, Scott. And Domingo Santana, do I want to add you? He's 73% owned, but he has been bayed this year. Should we go add Domingo Santana thinking more playing time is coming?
I don't think that's a bad idea. There are questions about what he brings to the table skills wise with all the strikeouts, but there's definitely power there. There's speed there. He overcame it with a high line drive rate last year. And I just think the upside, when he has this opportunity, it warrants the pickup.
Yeah, playing time has not been the issue. Performance has thus far, but Santana very good last year, so, and it's early. Adrian Beltre left with a hamstring strain. does seem like this is a DL thing, but we don't know for sure. And I dropped Willie Calhoun last night. Now I'm wondering, because we just got an email. It was a pretty good point. They could really use Willie Calhoun. He's not going to play third base. They're trying to get him to be a little bit better in the outfield.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, and he came up as a second baseman, but I don't think the infield is even a possibility for him anymore. But what is possible is Drew Robinson, who's been one of a handful of players they've been using to fill in the outfield. He's also an infielder, and he could be the one who steps in and plays third base with Willie Calhoun coming up to play the outfield. Now, if they had a lot of confidence in Willie Calhoun in the outfield, I think he'd already be up. But at the same time, Adrian Beltre's that's a big chunk of offense they're losing. They're going to have to replace somehow. And he's the most obvious candidate. So I think that's a pretty good call.
Okay, so would you rather pick up Domingo Santana or Willie Calhoun?
Santana, because the opportunity is going to be longer term and he's more proven and all of that. But Calhoun's interesting. I mean, big power numbers in the minors with the kind of strikeout rates you'd expect for like a slap hitter. So it seems like there's a high offensive ceiling there. He's just, you know, he's probably one of those guys who deserves to be playing DH and nothing else.
Okay, yeah, Willie Calhoun, 31 home runs with a .300 batting average in the minors last year in 128 games, only 61 strikeouts. Not going to get you steals, but yeah, Calhoun, somebody should be on your radar. Chris Bryant is day-to-day. He does not have a concussion. I hope he plays today. Jack Flaherty, jumping Jack Flaherty's going to start at Pittsburgh on Saturday. Let's check the ownership. What do you think the ownership is for jumping Jack? I think it's probably in the 68-ish percent.
I think it's over 70.
Okay, Scott, whatever. Let's see if you're right. Jack Flaherty's ownership, what should it be? It's 70. Oh, it's 70. Are we both wrong? We're both wrong. But I was the closest without going over. So I win.
I think it should probably be higher than that, given the upside. There's a better chance than not. I mean, there's a really good chance. It's just one and done. Like last time he filled in for Adam Wainwright. But, you know, if he goes out and dominates again like he did in his first start, like he did all of spring training, like he has in the minors this year. You just don't know what's going to happen. I mean, next start, Michael Wacha could grab his shoulder. Any number of possible. Any of the pitchers could get hurt, obviously. They may decide, you know, to kind of ease Wainwright back in. He may insist that he's ready, but Jack Flaherty may perform so well that they make the decision for Wainwright and keep him on the DL longer.
Right.
I think.
Well, who would you rather have, Walker Buehler or Flaherty?
Well, definitely Flaherty. Walker Buehler got sent back down.
He'll be back up, though, for the start this weekend.
They'd have to put somebody on the DL, I think, right? Or
I don't know.
Does the 26th man rule not apply for that? I'm not sure.
That might be the case.
I'm not sure.
That might be the case.
But yeah, I mean, also Jack Flaherty, I think, is that start for Walker Buehler yesterday. Well, good. I mean, obviously 5 shutout innings in major league debut. You can't complain about that. The fact he had 3 swinging strikes against the Marlins, he didn't flat out dominate, and the 89 pitches he threw were the most he's ever thrown as a professional. So I think Flaherty clearly has more upside for the here and now.
All righty. And Blake Treinen left after being hit by a comebacker, but he is day-to-day. So Santiago Casilla got the save. I'm not chasing that. It looks like Treinen should be just fine, and we'll be back closing for the A's. All right, Scott, let's talk about Tuesday's standouts. Who you got? Who stood out to you?
Well, I think we have to talk about J-Hap. Because it has been one big strikeout performance after another, 8 or more in 4 straight, 10 in this most recent start against the Red Sox, 1 earned run in 7 innings, 16 swinging strikes, and he's had 12 or more in every start. He's looked like this preeminent bat misser here in the early going, and I'm not really sure where it came from. There was that time, that stretch. Remember when he spent the half season with the Pirates?
Yeah, back when the Pirates had a good pitching coach. Same guy is a bad one now.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, Ray Searage seemed to work his magic on him then. But the key was he was throwing his four-seam fastball more. He was throwing it like two-thirds of the time, and it was a good swing and miss pitch for him. Since then, he's shied away from it, but it's not like he's gone back to it now. That's what I had hoped would explain this big boost in strikeouts. It looks like the stuff is the same. The pitch selection is the same, but how many starts has it been? Five starts or just four? Four.
For
at least five starts. Yeah.
I think it's five.
Yeah, after doing that for that stretch of time, I mean, I'm not exactly looking to buy high on him, but I'd be reluctant to sell him.
He actually only has two quality starts in five starts. That's the weird thing. Like, Hap's got a 3.72 ERA, but seven walks, 41 strikeouts in 29 innings. And the weird, you know, I was looking for the DFS podcast yesterday. You know, we do dong chasers, who's going to homer or whatever, so I always look at the BVP. And Hap had great numbers against the Red Sox, the current Red Sox. They had an OPS under 700 against him. So I didn't think much of it. I really didn't have a ton of confidence in him last night. Maybe, you know, an okay start. But seven innings, one run, 10 strikeouts, amazing. Yeah, all right, so is he? I think he's like around 50th for you right now, J-Hap. Will you be moving him ahead of Nick Pivetta? Oh, he's 58th. You know,
yeah, I already have him ahead of Pivetta.
You're not Heath. Sorry,
I'm not Heath. Believe it or not,
but you actually have him. You have him 65th. Then Heath's higher on Hap than you.
Well, I didn't need to move him up then.
Joey Lucchesi or Jay Hap?
Yeah, I'll stick with Lucchesi.
Okay,
it's gonna be hard for him to break into my top 50 just because there's not really anyone in that group who I've lost confidence in. You know.
Sure.
And I don't know what to make of J-Hap. I just know, I'd be reluctant to sell on him because while it doesn't make a lot of sense with his track record, the numbers kind of jive with themselves, if that makes sense.
And in that same game, I think Rick Porcello is a standout. And I know you buy into Rick Porcello. I asked you, Rick Porcello is back, baby, buy or sell last week, and you were buying it. Maybe not Cy Young good, but... You know, he gave up three runs, and I was flipping back and forth, and the Blue Jays announcer, Dan Shulman, just kept saying how unlucky Porcello got in the three-run inning. It was, like, soft hits, a hit-and-run base hit, a wild pitch. There was an error, I believe, on Devers. And then two runs scored on a hard-hit ball by Granderson, but it basically, like, it hit, like, Rafael Devers' glove, popped up in the air, and somehow two runs scored on a ball that barely left the infield. And then he other than that, he was scoreless. So Porcello continues to be off to a great start. He has 32 strikeouts and 32 and two-thirds. Yes, he's been a little lucky. No home runs allowed yet. Low BABIP. But, you know, he's got a 1.93 ERA. Sure, there's been some luck. So who would you rather have?
Some luck, but I mean, prior to this, or I can't remember exactly what day we did this exercise, but he was leading the major league in FIP. So... a lot of luck, but...
but still room, really good, really good.
Yeah, right, like room to... for there to be correction and him still be a really low FIP guy.
Yeah, so
Which is obviously something we care about. Yeah, I'm buying. I wish we had the explanation last season that he basically didn't have his best pitch, the two-seamer. He just didn't have the feel for it all.
I don't know,
last
how is that
year.
Possible? How can you not have a feel for a pitch an entire year?
I don't know, but he wasn't throwing it nearly as much, so it seems to, the pitch selection seems to validate the narrative.
Okay, so more standouts coming later. Trevor Story is the number five shortstop in fantasy. We had a lot of double dongers, actually. We'll get to that in just a second. We had Joey Votto homering, and somebody wisely pointing out that every time I speak ill of Joey Votto, he does well. So yes, I will be doing that more often in the future.
Yes, yes, he is... he is over the hill. He is done.
Hey, so, no,
oh, wait,
Votto.
I don't know if this works with me saying it.
No,
it's
actually,
you.
You're going to make it come true. So you should just stop.
Nope.
All right, so we will talk about Votto. We'll talk about his teammate, Scooter Jeanette. And, of course, we are grading your trades. But you should really be trading in any job site for ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is the best. It is the smartest way to hire. And, you know, running a business is a lot like running a fantasy baseball team, right? You need the top talent. You need the best talent. It's not always so easy to find. So for your fantasy team, you got this podcast. For your business, You've got ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is going to make sure you find the right people. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and goes out and invites them to apply to your job. So they do that work for you. They go out and find the right candidates. 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. And the important thing is that the right candidates are out there, and ZipRecruiter is how you find them. And if you want to try it for free, you go to ZipRecruiter.com/strike, ZipRecruiter.com/strike. Another thing that I love about ZipRecruiter, they will spotlight the strongest applications that you receive, and that helps make sure that you never miss a great match. So I'm sure, I've never hired anybody, I admit, but I'm sure it can be very frustrating. You got a bunch of resumes or a bunch of emails coming in. You need something like ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter.com/strike, to make this process much, much easier and much more efficient. Again, our listeners can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/strike. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Scott, we have a lot to get to today, so pace will be important. I am man-fretting it, and I am saying pace of play today. Let's fire away. Double dongs.
Oh, yeah.
Gary Sanchez double donged, I think, for the second time this year, and he is the number four catcher in fantasy. Still only hitting 208 with a really bad walk-to-strikeout ratio, 3 walks, 17 strikeouts. Do you have anything to say about Gary Sanchez, or is he the same Gary Sanchez we thought he was at the beginning of the year?
He is the same. He's off to a slow start, and yet he's still fourth among catchers. I think that's pretty revealing.
Okay, good pace of play. Scooter Gennett hit 2 home runs. He's on the board. Welcome to the board, Scooter Gennett.
Yeah, one was a walk-off.
Yeah, he walked off. Oh, sorry about against the Braves. Sorry.
That's okay. I mean, it was conflicting because obviously I have a lot of stock in Scooter Gennett. I was one of his most vocal supporters this spring. So I'm responsible for other people having stock in him too. And I was glad to see this happen. And I'm still hopeful there's more of this to come because he's actually making harder contact than he did last year. He's actually, elevating the ball about the same as last year. He isn't pulling it as much. But I noticed during the Braves broadcast last night, they said it seemed like he was looking for something to pull all night, which I don't know is a great plan always, but if pulling the ball is something he's had a problem with this year and it's compromised his power, I'm going to take it as a good sign.
Yeah, look, so Gennett, he's got now 287 batting average, 2 home runs, 6 walks, 20 Ks. He has walked more lately, 3 in his last 6 games. Now, it's been 23 games for Gennett. Double that, and that's 46 games, according to my math. So let's look at the first 46 games last year. He hit 270 with 3 home runs. He was a nothing. He was a complete non-factor. And he had 5 walks and 30 strikeouts. Then he had a 4-homer game. He finished the season after those first 46 games with a 9-10 OPS in the last 95 games of the year. Does one mean that it's going to happen again? Of course not. But he did get off to a similarly slow start for a much longer period of time last year, and then was great. So that's an optimistic outlook. For Scooter Gennett. A hopeful outlook. All right, Andrelton Simmons double donged. I called him a sell high a couple weeks ago. I don't buy him as a hitter, but right now he is the number 6 shortstop in points, number 7 in Roto. And I specifically think he's a sell high in Roto, because last year he was the number 4 shortstop in points leagues, and he doesn't strike out.
Yeah.
So Simmons double donged yesterday. He's batting .317 with 3 home runs and 2 steals, Scott.
Yeah, he's actually my fill-in for Elvis Andrews in the podcast league, which, the original podcast league, 12-team points league.
The OG.
So the better format for him. And I had put in a claim. Somebody dropped Zach Cozart in that league, and I put in a claim for him dropping Simmons. And this was enough for me to cancel that claim. I don't know. I don't think he's suddenly a power hitter, but, if he's the 12 to 15 homer guy he was last year with the low strikeout rate, with an okay steals total, it's gonna mean the whole, he's a whole is better than the sum of the parts player if he's who he was last year.
Yeah. What about would you have dropped him in a categories league for Cozart?
I think so.
I mean, Cozart has been just brutal lately.
Both of their points, the points format's better for both of them. But I think in the traditional roto categories, Cozart has a better chance of being a standout.
Freddie Freeman double donged yesterday. He went 2-for-6 with two homers. He is a top three first baseman. And he had been a little bit cold, batting .267 with no home runs in his last 16 games. I guess my only question is about Freeman is, do you think he's just not going to get a lot to hit? Because he has, he has 18 walks this year. You think he's not going to get a lot to hit? Does that even matter for Freeman?
I mean, Ronald Acuña is coming up. So there's some lineup protection.
Yeah.
We've been saying that about Freddie Freeman since the rebuild began, and he's only gotten better and better. So, no, I'm not worried about it.
All right, good pace of play. Kyle Schwarber double-donged yesterday, and right now he is the number 16 outfielder in points, number 12 in roto. In his last 10 games, Schwarber is batting .412 with four home runs, seven walks, seven strikeouts. There is a lot to digest with Kyle Schwarber. He's still just 1-for-13 against lefties. His strikeout rate is way down. His BABIP is way up, and I was reading today on CBSSports.com, he is going the other way a little bit, trying to beat the shift with some ground balls, but the BABIP will come down. So all good things, though, except he's hitting a lot more ground balls this year, and
yep.
His home run to fly ball ratio is 43%. Just last thing as I keep giving the numbers on Schwarber, 24% home run to fly ball ratio in both 2015 and 2017. He only played two games in 2016. That's extremely high. So he's going to be a high home run to fly ball ratio guy, I guess. But 43% is obviously ridiculous. So what do you make of all this data right now for Kyle Schwarber? Interesting player.
It's a lot to digest. And I actually put a column on the site yesterday, 12 legit hitter breakthroughs. And I considered putting Schwarber on there. But there's just... there's as many red flags as there are encouraging signs, like you summed up. And the biggest, of course, is he going to play every day because of those struggles against left-handers and the hitter surplus the Cubs have? And why is he not elevating the ball better? You know, some players do hit a lot of home runs with a fly ball rate between 30-35%, but Schwarber has yet to prove he can be that guy. He's always been a high fly ball guy. In the past, majors and minors included.
Probably will be again, right? I mean, we don't think he's going to be a ground ball hitter.
I mean, we don't know. The evidence this year, and obviously it's small sample, but that goes for anything we say about any player. He's been putting it on the ground a lot, and that's not a good thing. Hopefully it'll end, but I don't know.
I mean, this is a guy who had... after the All-Star break last year, an 894 OPS. But, I mean, the only thing he did was homer. He had only four doubles in 61 games. He had 17 homers. He doesn't play every day. Schwarber's just really interesting. I mean, he's the kind of guy, because of playing time, that could have good numbers and not be nearly as good, not be as good as the numbers, especially in a points league, because he sits. I don't know that he will sit, though. That's the thing. But he won't be good against lefties. That's for
sure. If he's this good all year... I feel like even if he struggles against lefties, they're going to have to, like, he's just going to be too instrumental at the lineup. They're not going to be able to justify taking him out. But that's a big if.
All right. So what are we doing with Schwarber? Where are we ranking him?
He for me is, he's probably right around that 40 range in the outfield. Let me see exactly where I have him. I have him exactly 40th. So look at me.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
You have Haniger ahead of him.
Yep, and Haniger's going to be moving up. But I have Inciarte ahead of him.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, he's off to a slow start, but I think a two-year trend where he's basically been pretty close to must-start. Obviously, the upside isn't as high as Schwarber, but he's a very safe player.
Inciarte over Schwarber. I don't know. Inciarte is, I mean, maybe, all right, fine. I won't fight you on it. He's the kind of guy, Inciarte is the kind of guy, at the end of the year, you look at where he ranks, and you're like, oh, I didn't realize he was that effective. all right, then, those are your double dongs. News and notes, Christian Villanueva sat again with a hamstring injury. Rich Hill is expected to start on Monday. Jason Vargas will start on Saturday. Do you want any Jason Vargas?
No, not really. I mean, a very deep points league, he's going to be an innings eater. But I don't have a lot of confidence in the skills.
Eric Hosmer's on the family medical leave list. He should be back hopefully Friday. Josh Donaldson could begin a rehab assignment later this week. Salvador Perez is back, and he homered. Tommy Pham is back, and he homered. Wei-Yin Chen will make his season debut against the Rockies on Saturday. I am assuming you want even less of Wei-Yin Chen compared to Jason Vargas.
That's correct.
Brian Dozier had a 17-game hitting streak snapped. I don't know how long it was going back to last year. It was over 20, but it was 17 this year. Ian Kennedy left with an ankle injury. Milwaukee catcher Stephen Vogt is approaching a rehab assignment. Do you want any? Do you want to vote, Scott?
I do not want to vote. How's it? Let's see how Manny Pena's done this
not
year.
Well.
I imagine not well. 194.
Yeah.
But at best, I think it's going to be a 50-50 split, the playing time there. And Vogt's skills have diminished quite a bit.
Xander Bogaerts should be back on Friday. Real quick, I'm going to give you some DL stashes, and I want you to tell me how much you want them. And they're mostly owned in less than 70% of leagues, a couple of exceptions. All right, a hitter. Eugenio Suarez, 71%.
In theory, I want him, but there have been so many third basemen emerging, Christian Villanueva, Miguel Andujar, and I'm not sure I could drop either of them for Suarez right now. So the ownership's probably about where it needs to be.
Who's the best stash here? Carlos Gonzalez, Steven Souza, Greg Bird. Carlos Gonzalez, Steven Souza, Greg Bird, they're all owned in 63-68% of leagues.
Gonna say Bird.
Yeah, he's coming back. Maybe in like 3 weeks he's beating his timetable, and he could change my seasons. That would be very nice. Come on, Greg Bird. How about this next group? Mark Trumbo, Josh Harrison, Ryan Healy. They're 43-49% owned. Trumbo, Harrison, Healy.
The best?
Your best.
In theory, it's Trumbo. He's, especially in categories leagues, the most rosterable in the hopes of another big home run total like he had 2 years ago. But I'm not confident in that. I think there's a good chance a lot of the people who have him stashed in a DL spot, as soon as he's activated, they're going to realize he's their best choice to drop.
And then finally, Brandon Drury, Ben Zobrist, Dustin Pedroia.
So I think Drury is headed for a super utility role with the way Andujar's performed, and supposedly Gleyber Torres is here to stay.
Yeah.
And I think he'll still play a decent amount in that role, but, you know, he was, just in terms of performance, he was having a hard time factoring in fantasy. I have Pedroia, when he comes back, I think he's going to be pretty useful. Not obviously, like he was in his prime.
Pace of play.
Second base is deep.
Pace of play. Who do you want?
I guess Pedroia is the most rosterable.
There we go. All right, how about the pitchers now? DL stash pitchers. Danny Salazar is 78% owned. How much do you want Danny Salazar?
Not much at all.
No?
No, I mean, I guess he could overtake Tomlin. They've been reluctant to bump Tomlin to the bullpen in the past, but he's been pretty awful.
Irvin Santana, Zach Britton, Luis Gohara. You don't have to just pick one. Are all three of these guys good stashes? Irvin Santana, Zach Britton, Luis Gohara.
Yes. And I can't imagine being in a position where I felt like I could drop either Santana or Britton. Maybe if it's like a 10-team league, you know, that's shallower than I'm used to playing in. So maybe you could justify it there, but Gohara, I've had to drop in a couple leagues just because of roster crunch, but I think he could be great.
Yeah, so he's coming back fairly soon, right? Luis Gohara,
yep.
For the Braves?
Yep.
All right, not
and
a
that's,
bad
that's only going to make the roster crunch worse, because then you can't stash him away in a DL spot.
Well, is he going to be in the rotation?
I would imagine so, unless Whistler has another start like his last one, and
okay,
they can't afford to remove him.
We've got Adam Wainwright, Jason Vargas, and Jimmy Nelson, and Carlos Rodon, and Dan Straley, and Joe Musgrove, and Matt Shoemaker. Wainwright, Vargas, Jimmy Nelson, Rodon, Straley, Musgrove, Shoemaker. Who should people be stashing on their DL, if anyone?
Rodon and Nelson. They both have the kind of upside to, you know, that if they were healthy, there's no way they'd be on the waiver wire. So that's kind of the litmus test for me. They're both weeks away, but they will be back eventually.
Scott, let's see how I did last night. How much money did I donate to the listeners? Well, it would have been just a dollar. I finished in fourth place out of five, which is good for me. This is good progress for me. in the draft app. Okay, so I had a zero from Trey Turner and a zero from Will Myers and six stupid points from Tanner Roark. I had Trevor Story of the Grand Slam, and I didn't win yesterday. Wow. I'm just, what is with me? All right, anyway, I still love it. I don't even care. I'm going to play again. I'm probably going to play multiple contests tonight on the draft app. And I learned a few things. First of all, yes, you can follow me on draft. Big Kane 2, C-A-N-E, like the Miami Hurricanes, Big Kane 2, on draft. Or another way to follow me, if you use our promo code when you make your first deposit, our promo code is FB today, you will automatically be following me and you will see any drafts that I post. You'll either see them in the lobby or you'll be notified on your phone. I think you have to probably just turn the notifications on. But, you know, it's not intrusive or anything. But use the promo code FB today on the draft app. And what happens there? You get into a real money baseball draft for free when you use the promo code FB today. And I play every day for a dollar. I'll play multiple contests sometimes with you listeners. And it's really fun. You get to win some cold hard cash. You get paid out the next day. The drafts are really quick. They only take a few minutes. And they're live snake drafts. And they're really awesome. So go to the App Store and search for Draft, or go to draft.com and enter the promo code FB today. Also, just found out they're going to be doing some best ball football drafts. You listen to the Fantasy Football Today podcast, I'll tell you more about that. But the Draft app is killing it right now. You need to get on there and use the code FB today. All right, Scott. Class is in session. It is time to grade the trade. And this is today, this is this week's teaching theme song. You like it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm down
it's
with
good.
That.
Right? Probably should have started the chorus earlier. Here we go. Okay, anyway, let's grade some trades. This is from Walker. I traded Rhys Hoskins and Robbie Ray. Hoskins and Ray. We're going to talk about Ray later. For Abreu and Syndergaard. Grade the trade.
I give that trade, I'll give it a B, I'll give it a B minus.
Hoskins.
I think it's pretty close to even, but I would rather have the Syndergaard Abreu side.
Who would you rather have, Hoskins or Abreu?
I'd rather have Hoskins. That's why I think it's pretty close to even.
Man,
but the gap between Syndergaard and Ray is enough that I'll take the Syndergaard side.
The number one first baseman of fantasy, Rhys Hoskins. All right, from Ryan, grade the trade. Categories League. Give up. Yeah, I have to get rid of this one because Thames is probably going on the DL. Maybe he's not. Maybe I'm jumping to conclusions, but I'm not going to read this one because it's Thames related. And
pace of play, Adam.
Pace of play. From Kurt, grade the trade. 12-team roto. Devers and Hap. Give up Devers and Hap. Ian Hap. Get Will Myers and Joey Lucchesi. Interesting.
Yeah. I think that's a go, especially in a roto league where Will Myers is going to give you steals. I'll give it a B plus.
Who would you rather have straight up, Myers or Devers in a roto league?
Myers.
Okay. From Mike in Nueva York. Grade the trade. 10-man keeper league, Scott. Keeper. But the only keepable player here is Blackman for $20. Give up Adam Eaton, Alex Wood, and Jonathan Cueto. Big time trade. Give up Eaton, Wood, and Cueto. Get Blackman and Paxton. And pick up David Dahl with the open spot.
Yeah. He put context there, like he wants contextual credit for picking it up with Dahl. And that's a great that's why those you know, trading, consolidating lesser players for greater players, that's why it's such a great option, because then you clear a roster spot for somebody else exciting. But this is a no-brainer. I mean, you're getting the best two players in the deal in Blackman and Paxton, so I give it a A.
Way to go, Mike in Nueva York. You the man, and that is Grade the Trade Part 1. All right, we got to get into the Worryometer. It is Worryometer Wednesday, of course. So Worryometer Wednesday begins with an email from Kevin. Email of the day, number one. Kevin says, I am not concerned, but where have all of Jose Altuve's home runs gone? Any indication in his batted ball data? And, okay, where have his home runs gone? Where have his steals gone? And where have I gone? How have I not mentioned this? We're 4 weeks into the season. Jose Altuve is batting 333 with no homers and one steal and four doubles.
Yeah. It's weird. It's weird. The steals especially, because steals, you know, he's getting on base as much as he always does. And as I've said before, steals are as much a product of intent as ability. So I do wonder if, you know, that Astros lineup is just so loaded that there's much incentive for him to steal anymore. That would be a problem. He'd still be a stud without him, but less so.
But they're not even hitting that well right now, I feel. Like, Springer's not hitting that well. Bregman's moved down in the order. I feel like Reddick has been arguably their best hitter. I mean, maybe I'm missing something here. But they're, you know, he should be running. You know, but
that
last
may
year,
be.
You're right, Scott. Last year, George Springer said, I'm not going to run that much. Like, look who's behind me. Altuve
yep.
still did. That thought right. did cross my mind as well. But yeah, I mean, what do you... Is there any evidence about the power, about the home runs?
I mean, his batted ball profile is basically exactly the same as it's been the last 2 years when he's been the 20-homer guy, nearly 25 homers. So I just think that's one of those fluky things.
Okay. And I kept saying, you know, every first-round hitter is doing so well except for Stanton, and I just forgot about Altuve because it's not like he's been terrible or anything. He's hitting .333. But yeah, no, he's been disappointing. If you were drafting today, would he still be the second pick in the draft for you?
Well, what other candidates would there be?
Hobby Bias.
Blackman, I guess.
Hobby
Bias. Harper.
Hobby Bias, I'd say.
Hobby Bias. no, it'd probably be between Harper and Blackman.
Yeah, Arenado.
Yeah.
I'd still go Altuve,
yeah.
Scott.
I think I would too, but it wouldn't be a slam dunk.
Okay. All right, so here's Worryometer Wednesday. A lot of guys here. Pitchers. Robbie Ray with 11 strikeouts and 4 2/3, but still not a good start. 3 runs, 3 walks, and he's got a 5.13 ERA and a 1.56 whip. Worryometer on Robbie Ray.
So I'm not really that worried still. I'll give it a 3 because it's, I mean, he's still, he leads the majors in K per 9. I mean, he's still got dominant stuff. It's just, he's got to get those walks down to pitch deeper into games. He's had at least 3 in every start. And when you're talking 3 and 4 1/3 innings, that's a really high walk rate. So, you know, he's not going to be 5.8 per 9 all season because nobody who keeps their job is, and he's never been that bad before. So I think he'll be okay.
So you're putting the buy low tag on Robbie Ray?
I am.
Okay.
I mean, I've moved him down a little in my rankings since the season started, but he's still top 20.
Have you moved him behind Patrick Corbin?
I did that yesterday. Yep.
Oh.
Patrick Corbin is now my number 15 starting
Ooh,
pitcher.
Ooh, wow. I worry.
And Garrett Cole's number 5. I know you guys talked about that yesterday. Would you do that?
5?
I'm doing it. Yep. After the big 4, Garrett Cole is number 1.
I don't even know. I don't even think you've got the right Astro. I couldn't put him ahead of Verlander, I don't think. No, I couldn't.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Chris tried to make the same argument to me about being the wrong Astro, but he was claiming Charlie Morton, obviously, before Morton's start yesterday.
I think Heath has him like 10th, Garrett Cole, and I said, you know, what about putting him 5th or whatever? I see the reasoning. He's been amazing, and his stuff is so good. Like he could be such a good pitcher, and he right now is.
I'm obviously giving Morton a pass for yesterday, but you know I have confidence in Dallas Keuchel as you do. We think he's good.
Yeah.
It still seems possible he might be the Astros' worst pitcher.
It does seem possible.
Just because
I don't know.
Else
I can't
is so good.
See McCullers being better than him, I don't think. Or
if I was ranking them now, I would put him 4th.
You yes. put him 4th? I'd put him 3rd.
Well, okay.
I'd put
Hang
him 3rd.
Hang on a second, because this is, in terms of fantasy value, I would keep him 3rd, yes.
Right. So you got Cole, Verlander, Keuchel, then who, Morton?
If we're talking best case scenario, everybody stays healthy all season long, then I would say Keuchel's the Astros' fourth best pitcher. It's just, you know, Morton at his age with his injury history, I'm not counting on that. By the way, did you hear that? My microphone just fell off the stand it was sitting on.
Yes, we did hear that. That is okay. Back to the Warriometer. Luke Weaver can't even get me through the fifth. That was terrible. Sorry, but this is two bad starts in a row.
Pretty good.
Ten earned runs in 8 2/3 over his last two starts at the Cubs and home against the Mets. Luke Weaver, Warriometer.
I'm going to say 4. So not very worried.
Okay.
But it was kind of weird yesterday with the control. That was his biggest problem. 6 walks and 3 of them came in the 5th inning. That's where things kind of fell apart for him. What's weird is one of his points of emphasis this spring was mixing in a curveball to go with his fastball changeup because he thought he became too predictable at the end of last year and started getting hit harder. These last two starts, the bad two starts, he's pretty much ditched the curveball. So I don't know why he ditched the curveball. It doesn't seem to be. It seems like he's getting hit hard again without it. I hope he realizes that and goes back to it.
All right, back to the Warriometers. That was Luke Weaver. Not too concerned there. One more pitcher, Shohei Ohtani. 2 bad starts in a row for Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, and it's the problem with him is he's having to thread the needle since he's limited to 1 start every week. It really hurts when that start isn't good.
He was such an obvious sell high. He was.
Well,
not that he's bad, but
right.
You could have gotten so much for him.
You could have. Yeah, that's a fair point. I don't know that I'd sell him now because the upside is still enormous.
I might buy him now. Now I might be looking to make some offers.
It would take a lot more than these 2 starts, you know, especially considering Red Sox Astros, you know?
Yeah.
For me to take him out of my lineup, basically. Like, I still see him as a fixture there.
I mean, they said that Ohtani was not affected by the blister. I guess I would love to know that for a 100% certainty.
Yeah, I'm a little skeptical of that.
Right?
I don't know how you're not.
Yeah, exactly. So that could be a reason why I wouldn't want to buy him, but, I mean, he throws like 98. He's got an amazing splitter. He's going to be a really good pitcher if he's healthy. But you got to have at least some red flags after the last 2 starts, and we know he had the blister problem. All right, hitters on the Warriometer. We'll go a little quicker here, Scott. Andrew McCutchen, 0-10, batting .209.
That's about a 7 for me.
Okay. So
he's one I moved behind Acuna to get Acuna up to 21.
Do you still think he's a buy low, McCutchen?
Maybe in a technical sense, but it's not something I'm gung-ho about doing.
All right, because he looked done last year, and then he went like berserk.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice that he has 3 steals already, and the plate discipline still looks pretty good.
Right. And that's something that I keep an eye on in slumps is plate discipline. He's got 13 walks, 20 Ks, so it could be worse.
It's, you know, it's more likely than not he'll be okay. It's just he's shown evidence of aging the last couple years, and you know, it was a really tough hitter's environment. So I have some concerns.
Yeah. All right. Last thing on McCutchen. First 47 games, he had a .631 OPS. Yeah, he was terrible. 47 games, .205 batting average. Next 63 games, he had an 1126 OPS. And then he was bad for the last 46 games. So, you know, he basically made his season last year, McCutchen, with a 63-game stretch in the middle of the year. He'll probably get hot again, I guess, based on the last 2 years he's done that. But all right, Miguel Sano, Warriometer on Sano. He's you know, I think it's one thing to struggle, but 6 walks, 32 strikeouts, that's pretty bad.
It is, yeah, and that's the downside of Sano right there. Like, it's going to be feast or famine with this guy because he also has, you know, when he's going well, he hits the ball as hard as anybody and can hit it a long way. And I imagine if he's healthy, he's still going to hit 30, 35, maybe even more home runs than that. But it's going to be really frustrating. And if there comes a point where he heats up like that, I think I would be looking to sell just to relieve myself of the headache.
So if McCutchen was a 7 on the Warriometer, where's Sano?
Oh, yeah. Got to give a grade, right? Yeah. I'll give him a 6.
Okay. So how about Matt Olson, who actually is the number 13 first baseman in points, number 10 in Roto, with just a 784 OPS? I don't get it.
So he'll be a 5 for me.
All right.
And that's, you know, I had a lot of confidence in him coming in, so he gets, he starts from a higher point than those two previous ones. But yeah, I still think the way he elevates the ball and pulls the ball and hard contact and all that could still be a big power hitter.
All right, Matt Olson is a 5 on the worryometer. Here's an interesting one. How about Brett Gardner? He's batting .225 with one home run and two steals. And he has 22... Wait, I might have reversed that. He either has 22 runs in 20 games or 20 runs in 22 games. He has an unbelievable amount of runs, Brett Gardner, and he's been terrible. Couple things. I worry about the steals. He hasn't run much, and it makes sense because of the lineup. And now that Aaron Hicks is back, I worry that Gardner will sit against lefties. But he'll be a better hitter than this, and he's scoring a ton of runs. He has 22 runs in 20 games while batting .225. And 16 walks to 21 strikeouts. He had .357 on base with a .225 batting average. So Gardner's interesting. Worryometer on Gardner.
I mean, the playing time thing is an issue. I'll say 6, but you know, mostly I own him in 5 outfielder leagues. For, you know, the little bit of steals potential he was going to provide late. I mean, if we think this Yankees lineup is historically great, and he scored this many runs, Stanton really hasn't gotten going yet, Sanchez hasn't gotten going, Bird has been out. It may be, like, in those 5 outfielder formats especially, it may be enough for him to overcome the possibility of him sitting against the occasional lefty.
Who is leading baseball in runs scored? It is not Brett Gardner.
Okay, it's...
It's a fairly obvious one, I'd say. Well, it won't surprise you.
Bryce Harper?
No, he's a leadoff hitter on a good team. A first-place team. Now you have 6 options.
I'm just not sure I can... I know everyone's leadoff hitter right, well enough. He's I'm on not the in that DFS world.
He's on the Red Sox, and he leads off.
Okay. Is it Mookie Betts?
His name rhymes with Kookie Metz. Yes, yeah. Mookie Betts.
I kind of remember if they were batting him leadoff or not.
23. Yeah, I think they are, right? Yeah, 23, 23 runs scored for Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
Last one, worryometer on Marcell Ozuna. Ugh. 3 walks, 23 strikeouts in 20 games. Ugh.
Yeah, but I'm chalking it up as a slow start.
Okay.
I'll give it a 4.
A 4 on Ozuna. Not too worried. All right, a lot more to get to here. We're just going to skip around. A segment called, well, it's about time. Joey Votto hit his first homer. Jay Bruce hit his second homer. People are concerned about him. Do you think Jay Bruce is a buy low candidate?
Yeah. I mean, he's always been streaky.
Yeah.
Let's not do this again with Jay Bruce. He'll be fine.
Wilson Contreras hit his first home run. Paul Goldschmidt stole his first base. And Eduardo Nunez stole his first base. More from yesterday. I would say Jose Berríos probably pitched better than the final line. 4 innings, 6 hits, 5 runs, 2 walks, and 7 strikeouts. He gave up a solo homer to Gary Sanchez. That was very Yankee Stadium-esque. It went 373 feet, I think. Not exactly a moonshot. And then I wrote in my notes on my phone, Berríos got squeezed, but it auto-corrected to berries got squeezed, which sounds delicious.
Yeah, making juice over there.
Where do you have Jose Berríos? Is he ahead of Patrick Corbin for you?
He's not. No, he's not in my top 15 like Corbin is. And I probably have him lower than... I'm sure lower than Heath does and probably lower than Chris would if he had rankings. But I moved him up to 25th. He's right there with Aaron Nola for me.
Ooh, you have him ahead of Tanaka, ahead of Price, and one spot ahead of Bundy. Would you rather have Charlie Morton or Jose Berríos?
I have Morton 22nd.
Would you
so
rather
same
have,
range, but I'd rather Morton.
Would you rather have Jay Happ or Cole Hamels?
I would rather have Hap.
Okay.
That's a close call. That was a really tough one.
Yeah, I mean, we got to give Hamels credit. He's really got the walks down, or, you know, only 2 quality starts this year. Hap only has 1. But Hamels has just 6 walks in his last 4 starts, and he's been more reliable. But next week will be an interesting one for Hamels at Cleveland and home against Boston. We'll find out a little bit more about him. I didn't really think any of the fringy starting pitchers were all that interesting, except for Tyler Mahle, I guess. He had an amazing start. I actually picked up Brandon McCarthy and Tyler Mahle, but I prioritized McCarthy. This is a deep league, 13 teams. Over Mahle, despite, you know, Mahle being much better than him yesterday. I can't get over the two completely terrible starts that Mahle, or maybe even three, really, that he had. But he does get the Marlins next week, so that's nice.
Yeah. And there's definitely more upside there than McCarthy. I guess it just depends what you're looking for, security or upside. And in a 13-league team league, I don't know. I might have gone for the upside there in Mahle.
Well, I picked them both up, so.
Okay.
There you go. But, Scott, I don't know if I did the right thing. I did prioritize both of them over Walker Buehler. Yeah,
I think I'd rather have Mahle for now, but I am not totally sold on Mahle. This is not like when things went wrong. Obviously, he had a no hitter going through six, but when things went wrong, they went really wrong. It was home run, double home run,
right?
Which is how he ended up allowing three runs. He threw about 70% fastballs in this game. Now it's a really good fastball. He had 20 swinging strikes, 13 of them just on the fastball. Those are both amazing numbers, but. I just don't know if, like, he needs a fuller arsenal to hold up as a starting pitcher. I mean, even in this start, it came back to bite him. So I just wonder if he's going to end up stuck in relief. It really reminds me of Tony Cingrani a few years ago. Remember the Tony Cingrani mania?
Yeah.
And it was just, yeah, but he throws too many fastballs. Oh, we'll be fine. And he wasn't fine. He ended up having to go to the bullpen and has been there ever since. So that's what I worry about for Mahle.
Well, I apologize for not bringing Mac Williamson up. I'll get to him in a moment. I will ask you, these starting pitchers, would you be fine dropping any of them for another two-star pitcher, for a hitter, for whatever? Or you tell me if there's any that you don't think should be dropped. Tyler Chatwood, Vince Velasquez, Zach Davies, Zach Wheeler, and CC Sabathia. Chatwood, Velasquez, Davies, Wheeler, Sabathia. Are any of them, don't drop, you're making a mistake.
I'd be fine dropping any of them. I'd be the most hesitant with Velasquez, but they're all expendable.
Mac Williamson is 23% owned. How owned should he be? He's got three homers in five games.
He should be more than that, probably closer to like 60. There is a lot of power potential here. Like, he might be one of the five strongest hitters in the majors. All three of his home runs have just been, they've all been over 420 feet. He's been hitting them out to the deepest parts of AT&T Park, like the places where you never see home runs hit at AT&T Park. And that includes, since he's a right-handed hitter, I mean, most of those are right center. He's going the opposite way. I don't think he's pulled a home run yet. And just obviously the backstory of him, Doug Latta is the name of the hitting guru who reworked a swing in the same way he did with Justin Turner a few years ago, making Justin Turner a fantasy stud. So it really seems to be paying dividends. I am excited.
Mac attack. Mac Williamson, pick him up. Not much in the bullpen. Greg Holland pitched the ninth inning of a tie game at home, but Bud Norris was unavailable. Holland did pitch very well, two strikeouts in a scoreless inning. Pedro Baez pitched the ninth of a tie game at home against Miami, and Dave Roberts said he made a mistake. He should have used Kenley Jansen. Jeremy Jeffress didn't get a save. He only went two-thirds of an inning in a 5-2 game, but he, I guess, was sort of used as the closer, and Matt Albers certainly was not. And Ronald Acuna is currently winning 51% to 49% over A.J. Pollock, and we are going to end today's show with a couple of segments. We got today's matchups coming up, but first, class is back in session. Let's get to Grade the Trade Part 2. You know how difficult it's going to be to come up?
I was jamming there and the microphone fell off again.
Oh, all right.
This is going to be, this is our new world, guys. I am podcasting from home. I'm going to be more often than not.
And he'll have a better microphone soon. So
yeah, it'll get better.
And what was I going to say? Oh, you know, it's going to be very difficult for me, Scott, to come up with 26 school theme songs, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to make it happen.
Okay.
Shane in Dallas. Give Patrick Corbin, get Anthony Rizzo. 10-team league.
Oh, I mean, as much as I like Corbin, Anthony Rizzo is first-round caliber bat. I'll give that a B+.
This is from... Ooh, no name here. All right, this is from Mark. 10-team, 5x5 categories. Give Bellinger a $7 keeper. Ooh. And Raisel Iglesias.
Mm-hmm.
Get Nelson Cruz and Kenley Jansen. Bellinger and Iglesias for Cruz and Jansen, and you're giving up a $7 Bellinger next year.
No. Why?
Yeah, don't do it.
Because you like Kenley Jansen that much? I mean, he hasn't even been Kenley Jansen.
Do not.
And I wouldn't do it even if it was. That's a D.
All right, from another one with no name. Head-to-head keeper league. Give up. Three players for one here. In a keeper league, Tanaka, Sean Newcomb, and Victor Robles. Give them all up. Tanaka, Newcomb, and Robles. Get Francisco Lindor.
My initial reaction is this is a great consolidation of players again. But, you know, Robles being one of those elite, elite prospects and not knowing the exact keeper rules. Like, if it's a league where you just everybody keeps a handful of players, like, you probably wouldn't even keep Robles, so that makes it an easy call. But if you keep, like, close to your whole roster, it's a little harder to do. I still think I'd do it, and I'd give it a B.
And Douglas wants to trade Josh Donaldson and Gary Sanchez for Mike Trout or Bryce Harper. Do you think he could get that done? Sanchez and Donaldson for Trout or Harper?
I don't think that'll do it. I don't think it's crazy to try.
Would you then give up Gary Sanchez straight up for JD Martinez? He has JT Realmuto. You were drafting. You were drafting Martinez first.
I was drafting. Yeah, I guess if you're secure a catcher like that, I have to say yes. But it's one of those trades where like it's so close, like it's so even. I don't know that I'm motivated to do it just because. It'll feel a lot worse if it goes wrong for you.
Yeah.
Then,
right.
Than
okay.
If it doesn't.
Scott, today's matchups. Here we go. I'm just going to tell you the pitchers. You just say which one you want to start it or both. Felix Hernandez at James Shields.
Neither.
Nick Tropiano at Justin Verlander.
Verlander.
Tyson Ross at John Gray in Colorado. Nope. No on Ross. What about Gray?
I'd be more likely to start Ross, actually, but I'm going to say, I'll say no to either, to both.
Max Scherzer at Jeff Samardzija.
I will start both.
Jordan Zimmermann at Jameson Taillon.
Yeah, let's go with Taillon.
Lance Lynn at Sonny Gray. Oh.
I will start neither, even though I imagine we'll be starting both more often than not.
Matt Whistler at Brandon Finnegan.
Nope.
Zach Greinke at Jake Arrieta.
Yeah, let's start both.
Faria at Cobb.
I'll start Faria. Definitely not Cobb.
Eduardo Rodriguez at Aaron Sanchez.
I'll start Erod, but I won't start Sanchez. I'm kind of down on him.
John Lester at Trevor Bauer.
Let's start both.
Matt Boyd at Chad Kuhl.
Neither.
Trevor Richards and Clayton Kershaw. Kershaw,
yep.
Kendall Graveman.
You know what? I might give some thought to starting Boyd. He's a hot hand. Pirates, everybody slumping in that lineup.
Yeah.
He does seem like a decent sleeper tonight, Matt Boyd.
Kendall Graveman, Doug Fister.
Neither.
Steven Matz, Michael Wacha.
Neither.
Chase Anderson, yeah. Jason Hamill.
Once again, I say no to both.
Thank you, Scott White. Thank you all for listening. Ronald Acuna Day. Enjoy it, everybody. And we'll talk to you on Thursday on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast.
I'm going to sleep well tonight.